Father, we just thank you. We praise you for the time that we get to spend with you this morning. And Father, I'm just asking that your Holy Spirit move throughout these chairs today and minister to your people. Let your angelic host, Father God, minister whatever the need is. And Father God, we just thank you. We praise you that we have spiritual ears and spiritual eyes and spiritual understanding, and that we hear, see, and receive all that you have to say to us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a whole lot of problems going in the world. A whole lot already going down the pike and a whole lot coming down the pike. And there's talking more and more about the war and more about the economy going down. And, you know, a lot of people are depressed. They have a lot of anxiety. And a lot of people are just wanting to give up. You know, that's the bottom line. They're just wanting to give up. So I'm going to read two things. One is by Wendy Alec, and then another is something came in this morning. And I knew when I went to bed last night that I did not have the right messages in the right order. So I just went to bed. So this morning I get up, and so God put everything in order. And so we're going to go with that, all right? But you have to receive this into your spirit. You just can't, you know, hear it and then let it drop. You have to receive it. All right, this is a conversation with, she's with my Abba Father, and I'm just reading what she wrote. Now, if you don't know Wendy Alec, she has a beautiful book out. She writes lots of books, and she started her own TV ministry, and she's really a mightily anointed woman of God. She's from the UK, right? She's from the UK, and she just has really gone through some, you know, she's given her whole life to God, and then she went through a divorce and some other things happened in her life. And this is where she's coming from, okay? And so that's why I'm reading it. Well, God impressed upon me to read it. But a lot of you are coming from the very same place that she's coming from. She's a beautiful heart. When I saw in one of the responses to a recent post of mine that one of our treasured princess warriors had been running away from the Lord. See what she said, had been running away from the Lord. I knew I had to post this article below, as I had such a prompting to post it from the Father. Oh, Father, let it comfort hearts just as you comforted my heart when I was running away from you because I didn't understand your ways in the long winter season. And I'm quite sure there's people in the house of God that today are still running away from God. And she said, because I didn't understand your ways in the long winter season. Promotion is in sight. It's right at your door, beloved one. And she says, love, Wendy. Now, you know, when I was going through my winter months, I didn't know what they were as well as you don't know what they were. God said to me, don't die in the winter months because spring is coming. The winter months are the dry seasons where everything that can go wrong is going wrong. And you don't feel God. You don't hear God. And you just feel like, you know, he has abandoned you. That's your winter months. Hiding from the Father. I had been hiding from the Father for the past 3.5 years. That's a long time, isn't it? I had been flinging myself totally on his mercy and his fellowship. After such intense trauma, it was as though I was stuck in a no man's land. Maybe some of you can relate to that right now. Where miracles used to come thick and furiously, it was as though I was trapped in an eternal winter. Well, mine's been 10 years, so I guess her 3 years wasn't so bad after all, was it? I had done everything possible to heal, receiving so much prayer, repenting for generational lines, and getting deliverance. My nature is to get help when needed, to run towards healing and ministry, and I had done that. Part of my calling in the office of the prophet is that God uses me as Exhibit A. This often means that what I experience is where many of the body of Christ are at that exact time. I knew firsthand that there were so many of God's champions, prophetic intercessors, prophets, and seers who had been experiencing intense loss and trauma. They were in the valley of the shadow, the wilderness. I had stood for so long with seemingly little hope or breakthrough that I really found myself literally running away from the Father. Deep, deep inside, I knew that it was because I had cried so many tears and that I was hurting badly, really badly. I didn't understand why my beloved, adored Father, Father God, my beloved Abba, who I had such a history with, hadn't come to my rescue. How many of you are thinking that about the Father right now? Why don't you really get this into your spirit this morning? So I did what I did when I was a teenager. I ran away. Remember, God's been telling us, I'm not behind you. I'm ahead of you. Don't go back. Keep following me. I deliberately avoided him. When I wasn't working towards your huge deadline from my publishers on book 5 of Chronicles, I would escape into sleep in thankful oblivion or watching hours of television, which I hadn't done for years. So I knew that the answers weren't to be just for me, but for so many who were going through this strange, intensive time of a seeming unending wilderness. And you know, whenever your back is against the wall and it seems like everybody is against you, and no matter what you know, you hear God's voice, no matter what you do, everybody else is saying you're wrong, you're in your wilderness. And God isn't coming to your rescue, he isn't vindicating you, he's just letting you walk right on through it. All right? But don't do like Wendy and run away from him. Forgiving God. I would wake up in the morning and hear him say, beloved child. Then I would duck my head under the blankets and run again. See, she didn't want to hear God's voice. But tonight was a different night. I realized that I had to forgive God. And maybe some of you in here this morning, you have to forgive God. You just have to forgive him. Because you didn't think he was there whenever you needed him. I had to forgive my beloved father because the absolute truth was that I had become so intensely hurt. I felt that he had allowed me to go through so much devastating loss that I had actually become offended at my heavenly father. When I read that, I thought, wow. She said, I felt that he had allowed me to go through so much devastating loss that I had actually become offended at my Heavenly Father. This was absolutely shocking to me because no matter what I had ever been through in my life previously, I had always known him as my adored protector, my absolute rock, my all in all. This seeming heavens as brass threw me into a situation that seemed far above my own earthly comprehension, and into a grid that I had never, ever experienced before. I was hurting so desperately and would cry out to him like a bewildered five-year-old over and over again. I don't understand, I don't understand. And how many of you have been saying that to your father? Daddy, I've served you as faithfully as I can with my whole heart all these years. I brought before you all my humanity and besetting weaknesses. But if you don't come through for me, literally, I've been through so much that for the first time in my entire life, I think I'm done, kaput, game over. I don't understand. I don't understand. And you know, last night when I was just trying to, you know, I had the morning service done and the evening service done, but I felt like I needed to take the evening service and take it to the morning service, which would have went along with the praise and worship. But I thought, no, I'm just going to leave it the way it is. But then I got up this morning and I had an email like Wendy. And I thought, now I know it's you, Father, so I'll switch everything around. So this is why I'm doing this morning, because somebody else is in the same valley that Wendy was in. She says, I wanted to run away. If anyone would ever have told me that there would be a time and a place where I would run from my Abba, I would never have believed them. But here I was, completely out of my daddy grid, running furiously. Deep down, I was totally bewildered and subconsciously deeply hurt, and dare I say it, angry that I had been pushed to beyond my earthly limit and that the heavens were seeming as brass. Now let's read that again. Deep down, I was totally bewildered and subconsciously deeply hurt, and I dare say it, angry that I had been pushed to beyond my earthly limit and that the heavens were seeming as brass. Doesn't God say he will never put more upon us than we can bear? See, Wendy forgot that scripture. And then that's where the enemy took her. The heavenly friend. Kim Clement had once asked God the question, who is Wendy? He had been so amazed by the answer that he checked and rechecked with the Father. God gave him the same answer each time. Wendy is the loving, lovely friend. Well, for sure I wasn't being the lovely friend to the father. The lovely friend was running as fast as she could away. But I also knew that the father had some profound truths that he wanted to share. First, I had to say sorry and ask his forgiveness. Secondly, I had to stop running. Daddy, I'm so sorry for being so hurt and offended at you. Please forgive me. I miss you. I love you. Abba, please help me. Have mercy on me. Some of you need to do that in here this morning. And so the father spoke, child, beloved child, I have allowed you to go through the fiery furnace that many, many of my beloved ones, sons and daughters have been experiencing in this hour. I have allowed you to go through this. I have allowed this because as my scribe, they will read your words and know deep within their hearts that they are not alone in this season of transition in the body of Christ. Remember, God said, you're not the only one in the boat. There's many more just like you. Who was it, Elijah? I always get these guys mixed up. He was in the cave and said, I'm the only one left. And God said, no, you're not. No, you're not. There's many more, right? And this is where the body of Christ is at. You think you're the only one that God has forgotten about. Begin with, he hasn't forgotten you. And secondly, you are not the only one that's feeling that way in this season of trials and tribulations. Beloved child, you, is that where I'm at? Beloved child, you and many others have been tested to almost the very limit of your endurance in this season. See, he says almost the very limit of your endurance in this season. For it is a season of promotion. You're getting ready to be promoted, so you're being tested. And I believe God told us that a couple weeks ago. And you are being tested to your very limits. But the natural always falls after the spiritual. So first of all, you have to go through the furnace of affliction, you know, and through all the tests and the trials to get to where God's taking you to. You're saying that, then Wendy says, you're saying this is an exam, Daddy? Yes, he says. I could sense the father's deep compassion in his smile. Yes, beloved weary child, it is a devil's test. But I am the, I cannot say that word. Who can say that word for me? Who? Well, I didn't understand you either. So anyhow, the word is spelled, the word is, I know it's a judge and I know it's all that, but I want to use this word. I mean, this is the word she used. It's A-D-J-U-D-I-C-A-T-O-R. I looked up how to pronounce it and I couldn't pronounce it, but the way they did it either. So there you go. All right, now, this thing, A-D-J-U-D-I-C-A-T-O-R, is a person who studies and settles conflicts and disputes. He's a judge. He's your adversary. He's everything. So I thought, well, I have to use that word because it's the word God used, all right? Be clear there? Oh, but Daddy, this is the severest thing I've ever experienced. It's taking every ounce of courage just to face the day. How many of you have been there just recently, maybe? Then I sensed the Father say in his infinite compassion, do you remember when you sat your final exams in high school? I nodded. For those weeks and months, normal life stopped. I thought back, it was so true. So, beloved child, in that time of having to pass the exams to get your promotion, your normal activities ceased. Your parents put a curfew on you so that for that season you didn't party or stay with friends and go out on the weekend. All the fun things you so enjoyed were put on hold, all because you had to pass the exam, the test. See that? In this season of the church, there is a worldwide test occurring. Many of you are not aware of it, but some of my children are. This is why for so many in this season, it has seemed that miracles are scarcer or take longer. That is why it has seemed like winter or the wilderness. But beloved child, party time is ahead. As I typed that, you know, I thought, you know, because, you know, we go through seasons where, you know, just like today, songs like today. But then all of a sudden God has me do a party song service. And I really believe that we have been through a testing time. We've been through the furnace and the affliction. And you know, God had us on some different songs. But then we've passed the test. And so we get the balloons and everything, you know, and we have a party because we passed a test. And then We go back into the testing time again. Have you noticed that? Because we do. You know, God said, okay, the party's over. And so we don't do party songs. And then all of a sudden now he says to me, get party songs now. So I really do believe that when we don't do party songs, we're going through some tests and some trials. And God's getting ready to promote us to a higher place in him. Daddy, you're saying that many of us are sitting an exam without having discerned that it is an exam? Yes. God says, you remember when you were sitting in the exam, you couldn't ask your teachers any questions. You took this exam in complete silence. It was just you and examination. You had to literally pull on every strand of knowledge that you had learned and absorbed in the past year to see exactly what had become a part of you and what you had truly retained. See, what he's saying here is, when he's silent and you feel like he's abandoned you, what you have to pull on are his promises, on his word, and that's what's going to see you through. See, as I read this, Wendy didn't pull on all that. And that's why she started running away from the Father. We're not supposed to run away from the Father. We're supposed to run into his arms. And, you know, I am so glad that God gave me a couple scriptures to stand on, because when I'm in my wilderness times, I stand on those scriptures. That's what takes me through. So this is why you have to be aware of everything that God speaks to you, because he's given you a weapon to hold on to when you feel like he's abandoned you. All right? It could be a friend. I don't know. But you should start to looking at what God has been speaking to you. But this Abba, Wendy goes on to say, but this Abba, this has been the hardest season for so many of us of our entire lives. Yes, beloved child, remember my servant Job. In the very end, he received such recompense, such restitution. I was so very proud of him, his endurance, his steadfastness, and his perseverance. See that? God was really proud of Job. He was judged by several of those who were not walking in his footsteps. So everybody's not walking in your footsteps, not going to understand your test. And they're going to judge you. So you just keep right on going. All right? He was judged by several of those who were not walking in his footsteps and who had not been called like he was in that particular season. That is why I said, do not judge. There's only one judge. You know, only you know what God is calling you to do. And if somebody's coming against you for what you're doing, then you need to tell them, have you prayed? And then they say, no, then I think, this is what I always say, then I think you need to go back to the Father and you need to pray and you need to find out from him if what I'm doing is right or wrong. All right? Beloved child, I am the only one who knows and truly understands in my infinite wisdom and compassion how elaborately each child of mine has been created and the true motivation of their hearts. I like that, how elaborately each child of mine has been created. And we're all different, we're all unique. He does not have a mold. And aren't you glad there's not two of you? No? And we just need to trust God. We need to really, truly, because it's going to get darker. Things are going to get worse. They're not going to get better. And if you can't trust God now, you're not going to make it. I keep telling you, you're not going to make it. You have to trust God now. Then God goes on to say, I am an all-loving, ominous, all-knowing judge. I judge my own as a tender father. The reason you have felt so out of your normal grid with me is because you are not used to me being the arbitrator. How do you like that? You see that? See, sometimes we get a little bit high-minded when we know we are special in God's eyes, and he's really anointed us, and he's always with us and always gifting us. And then whenever all of a sudden God isn't there, where are you at, Father? What are you up to? Why am I going through all this? Why aren't you coming to my aid? But really, if we really surrender our entire life to God, no matter what comes down the road, we might cry. I'm not going to say you're not going to cry. I'm not saying it's not going to hurt. But we won't run away from God. we will know that in his infinite wisdom, he is taking us through the trials and the tests that we need to go through to be the solid pillar that we need to be in this end time army to help bring in the lost and the dying. You know, we can't be a bunch of wimps. We have to be strong in the Lord because the world out there is strong and it's in gross darkness. And we're going to have to know who we are in Christ. We're going to have to know exactly what God has called us forth to do. And we're going to have to stand. All right? And this is one thing, Wendy, and when I read this, I was really surprised because this is one mighty woman of God. But the enemy just caught her off guard. The truth about courage. My first instinct was to think, oh no, well, I've so blown it when the father started to talk about courage. My children often think that true courage means to have no fear. But that is not courage, beloved. True courage is when, although having fear and having counted all the cost, you continue to walk on in endurance and faithfulness and perseverance through the fiery furnace and the burning desert wilderness, clinging onto me by faith. Let's read that again. My children often think that true courage means to have no fear. But that is not courage, beloved. True courage is when, although having fear and having counted all the cost, you continue to walk on in endurance and faithfulness and perseverance through the fiery furnace and the burning desert wilderness, clinging onto me by faith. That is a testing of your faith in me, which is more precious to me than gold. When I looked down upon my servant Job, I knew that beyond his cries, he had set his will to serve me no matter the cost. So you know, God knows us, and he knows if we're whining a little bit. He knows that deep in the very crevice of our heart that we have determined we are going to follow God no matter what comes down the road. All right, so just because you whine a little doesn't mean that God's cast you away. He knows the deepest part of your heart. All right? My children who do the same are my heroes of yesteryear. These are my beloved champions of today, my precious jewels above price, my treasured called out ones, worthy of the victor's crowns, my purple hearts and the Father's love, the Father's love. You are home, beloved. You know, when he says here, these are my beloved champions of today, my precious jewels above price, my treasured called out ones, worthy of the victory's crown. I want to stop there. I remember I was standing right there one day ministering, and God said to me, daughter, never let anyone steal your crown. So I read about the crown, and there was many times after that day that I wanted to quit. And I remembered God said, don't ever let anybody steal your crown. See, that he said that because he knew that there was going to come a day and a time that I was just going to want to quit. Not run away from God, but just sit down and let somebody else do the work. But God said, don't let any man steal your crown. So you have to pay attention to what God's saying to you. Always. Because everything, he doesn't talk unless there's a meaning behind it. All right? So then my treasure called at once, worthy of the victor's crown, my purple hearts and the Father's love, the Father's love. You are home, beloved. Oh, we make him so proud, beloved, even in our childish humanity and besetting sins that sometimes so easily entangle us. Today, our incredible Father, our omniscient, omnipotent Emperor, would take you in his arms and hold you to his breast. God wants to do that to you this morning. He wants to take you and hold you to his breast, and he wants you to stay there. Because he says to me, daughter, let me take you into my arms. Come on. Get on my lap. Let me take you in your arms because the enemy's trying to take you out right now. And believe me, I run directly to his arms. And I said, devil, you can't touch me here because I'm in a place of safety. All right? So when he tells you, come on, get into my arms, run quickly to his arms because the enemy is about ready to just about take you out. And in his arms is total safety. As your tears fall upon his chest, it is he that softly and oh so tenderly strokes your hair and kisses your head and whispers to your tired, oh so weary heart, you are home, beloved, you are home, you are mine, and you are truly home. That's the end of her story. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that encouraging? Didn't that go right along with the song service? We serve the most powerful, wonderful God in the universe. He is always looking out for your good. He is always warning you ahead of time. God never, ever, ever lets you go into anything that he first doesn't warn you about. But then you have to be a person that's listening to the voice of God. You have to be a person that whenever you hear the voice of God, you don't argue with him. You just take him at his word. You just trust him. You know, a couple of times God said to me, daughter, don't quit trusting me. Because he knew my heart was growing heavy. And he knew I was tired. And he says, just keep trusting me. So that lifted me up, and I just kept trusting him, and he brought me through the fiery furnace. So if you just trust God, he will bring you through everything that comes down the road, absolutely everything. Amen. So then this morning, as I was doing changing this around, I ran across this. This was a person that got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she said, the question pounding inside my heart was this, Lord, how do we live in the peace you promised when there are storms all around us? And you know, there are storms all around us, and God has been telling us, get into my peace. She said, I picked up the well-worn Bible that I keep beside my chair and opened it to the conversation Christ had with his best friends on the night when he knew he was about to be betrayed. He would have to endure a mockery of a trial and then take that long walk up a hill to face a barbaric execution. John records those profound hours in chapters 13 through 17. But as I sat in my chair that night, I turned to the verses I had underlined that speak of peace. In John 14:27, Jesus said, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Peace is a gift from God. And when you're not walking in peace, you're saying, God, your gift was not good enough. Peace of mind and heart, peace that is only found in Christ. Then Jesus told them that hard times were coming. He tried to prepare them for the persecution that was ahead, for the unprecedented storms on the horizon. And then he said this in John 16:33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. See, when you're not walking in peace, you do not know these scriptures. Or if you know these scriptures, you act like you don't know them. Because if you admit you know them, then you know that you're out of God's will when you're not walking in perfect peace. Christ had just shared some very difficult truth with his dearest friends, and yet he said that the very reason he was telling them this was so that they could know peace when the storms hit. The storms are coming. The storms are already here. They are hard and they are heavy. So we're going to have to get into peace and stay there. You don't have the option of going in and out of the door of peace. You have to open the door, walk through it, and stay in that room of peace, no matter what goes on. What is this peace that Christ speaks of? It's clearly not circumstantial. As he promises it in the middle of trouble, perhaps it's easier for you to believe that for others there than for yourself. In other words, God said, you'll have peace in the midst of all your troubles. You know, when my money disappeared a couple weeks ago, I had peace because I know that my God can supply. And everybody said, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, you should be doing the other. I said, no, I have perfect peace about it. And God is going to supply. And I still have perfect peace. God is going to supply. Same time, both of my cars starting to have trouble. Got one fixed, the other broke down. Got that fixed, the other one broke down. Now I got to take the other one back again. I have perfect peace. Why? Because God's my supplier. God takes control of all things in my life because I allow him to. So he said that in the midst of storms, you're going to have peace. Isn't that what we read? Okay, what is this peace that Christ speaks of? It's clearly not circumstantial. I know I've already read it, but I'm going to read it again. As he promises it, in the middle of trouble. Peace in the middle of trouble. Perhaps it's easier for you to believe that for others than for yourself. Or in other words, you can believe somebody else can have peace, but you don't have peace. But if it's a promise from Christ, then it is true in the best days of life and the worst days of your life. For the richest and the poorest among us, then that peace, you should have that peace no matter what's going on around about you. None. I mean, you should not be outside of that peace. If you find yourself in the middle of a mess right now, Christ wants to speak peace to you. Many things in life are a mystery to me, but this one thing I know for sure. God is for you, not against you. See, that'll carry you through if you remember that. Devil, God is for me, not against me. You're the one that's against me, and my God will supply. He sees you, he knows you, and loves you. This is what I know about peace. Peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of Christ in the midst of your trouble. Peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that most of the body of Christ doesn't know anything about. You know, and God, if you listen to God's voice at all times, when you're trying to, the devil's trying to get you to do something stupid, you'll hear God say, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And then you just know that you know that you know that no matter what the devil does, that God is in control, and you can have perfect peace. I want you to listen to a song this morning. God told me to do this too. And for you who are troubled all the time, or 99% of the time, or 50% of the time, because you shouldn't be troubled at all, for you who can't find the peace that passes all understanding, I want you really to think about what you just heard this morning. Then I want you to listen to the song. Then I want you to make a decision. And that decision is to stay in the perfect peace of God. And we have a sign in the window that God had me put up years and years ago about refuge in the storm. Now, in order for God to use his house as a refuge in the storm, the people in the house have to be at peace in the storm. So that therefore then what's in you will radiate out into others as they come in. Because they're not going to be in peace, are they? They're going to be troubled, and they're going to be messed up, and they're going to have to feel love and peace as they walk through the doors. And the only way they can feel that is if you are absorbed with God's perfect peace and his perfect love. And God said, as you look around, you know, in your own life or other people's life, it's very evident who is walking in peace and who is not. Can people look at you and say, I don't understand how they can go through that and still be smiling? You can go through that and still smile because you have the peace of God. You know that you know that you know that you know that God is for you, not against you. And no matter what the enemy is taking you through, God is with you in that storm. God told me one time, if I send you into a valley, I'm there with you. I walk through the valley with you. I don't send you in there alone. He allows the enemy to take us into a valley, but God goes with us. Now, can you grasp hold of that this morning? Can you understand that God is always with you no matter what you're going through? If you can, then you will feel the peace of God within inside of you. It doesn't matter what other people are trying to make you do. You'll be in such peace that they won't affect you in your decisions. But see, the reason why you know the church is so messed up is because you don't have the peace of God. You don't have the understanding of God. And when God speaks to you and you share it with somebody else, they say, oh, you can't be doing that. You believe them and not God. Or you go home and you fall apart because they didn't believe what you said. Why do you care if they believe what they said? What you said? Keep it to yourself. God's word says, you know, cast your pearls before the swine. You know, there's some people you don't need to share things with because they, even though they profess to be godly, they're not godly. You just need to start keeping things to yourself. Are you understanding this? And so you really need to have the wisdom of God to know who you can share things with and who not to share things with. You really do. because sometimes you share what God has shown you, or somebody else will be jealous, and they'll try to break that thing. So I just want you to listen to this song now. You have it ready, Nancy? And then, all right, after you listen to the song, if you really want the perfect peace of God, I want you to come up here and line up. Then God wants me to anoint you with oil for peace, all right? Because I do walk in peace.
Has somehow forgotten that you are faced with circumstances you can't get through. Right now it seems that there's no way out and you're going under. But God's proven time and time again, He'll take care of you, and He'll do it again.
He'll do it again.
If you'll just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, well, hasn't He always come through for you? He's the same now as then.
Sister Shirley just handed me her little notebook that she takes notes in, and God said to her, faith in God is your anchor. When a large wave comes at you, don't try to go through or over it, just ride it out. And that is so true. We just need to start learning to ride out the troubled times in our life, knowing that God is with us. And Friday, all I could do all day long was cry. And God said, such hate in my body. He said, my body is supposed to be a body of love, but there's so much hate. When will they stop hating? If you don't have peace, that might be one of your problems. Maybe you don't know how to love. Maybe you aren't loving the way you ought. And we need to start showing grace to people. We need to start showing long-suffering, because you were there one time too. And if you don't start showing grace and long-suffering, whenever you go through a trial or tribulation, God's not going to show you grace or long-suffering. And we need to start loving like Christ loves. And we need to quit holding grudges on our shoulders. Why do you do that? Just why do you do that? Jesus didn't hold the cross on your shoulders, is he? You know, he went through the cross for you so you could be saved. And he's not looking at you and saying, well, why don't you honor the cross? He doesn't say that to you. He doesn't say that. So there's some of you in here tonight, you need to just drop your grudges. You just need to drop your hateful vindication that you want to do to people. You want to wish them evil, not good. You need to drop that this morning, because that's not God. And we're in a dispensation, if you don't do that, if you don't start walking in love, you're not going to be on the right side with God. And I don't know if you'll make heaven your home. Because God was really upset all day Friday, because people don't know how to, the body of Christ doesn't know how to love after all that he's done for us. He's been speaking about love forever, and yet we still don't love the way we ought. So, you know, if you want peace, if you don't have peace, the reason why you don't have it is because you don't have your love walk down yet. And you hold that hateful, you know, mess in your heart, you know, towards people that do things to you. And one day, you know, you're going to ask God to forgive you, and he's going to say, did you forgive that person? Did you forgive that person? Did you forgive that person? The Bible says if you don't forgive, he can't forgive you. So the altar is open if you want to come up and just empty out and say, God, I just want your perfect peace. I would be praying for wisdom also, because without wisdom, you can't really walk with God. You need that wisdom. You need that peace. Now,